Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Although spring is trying to arrive early in many parts of the U.S., including mine, the spring equinox is still a few weeks away. That doesn't mean I'm not getting ready for the online Ostara ritual, though. I'm excited to gather on Zoom with like-hearted people on March 20th to work with the energy of potential. And bunnies. Can't forget the bunnies. You are, of course, welcome in the virtual circle. Check the show notes for the link to more information and registration. I hope to see you then. Last week, I scoured the Wayback Machine on the Internet Archives and found old blog posts of mine that I hadn't been able to recover when my site was hacked last year and I had to start it again from scratch. I was able to copy the ones I wanted into the new site and got to read through them as I did. That was an adventure. I hadn't looked back at old journals for a while, and reading the posts was like that. It was an interesting look at what was on my mind 7-8 years ago. Surprisingly, or not probably, what I chose to contemplate and write about hasn't changed much. Some of the things I struggle with are continuations of what I struggled with then. Some things, though, I read and went, well, that's not a problem anymore, which isn't really true. Some of the same challenges come up, some of the same opportunities too, but I deal with those challenges differently, with more tools and skills I've developed as a shamanic healing practitioner. I've also done a fair share of shadow work. Not that I'm finished or anything. We never really are. Through that deeper work, I've noticed when opportunities had come up and I didn't say yes, or I self-sabotaged and blew it. It's crazy trying to manifest and then blowing it off when the thing you're trying to manifest shows up, right? I'm getting better able to discern the good opportunities as well as the best approaches to some of those challenges now. So what happens? Life makes it harder, right? So while I'm better at the old stuff, I'm always in a growth spiral, working towards releasing all my old shit and being more intentional about what I try to manifest so I can say yes when the right thing shows up. But I found those old blog posts and one got my attention because it kind of goes with what I wanted to talk about this episode. The title of it is, Nobody Said Being a Healer Was Easy. And I wrote it in December of 2017, just over 6 years ago, before COVID, when I was still running my yoga studios and offering yoga teacher trainings. It was shortly after my dad died suddenly, which really rocked me and ignited a period of some of that deep shadow work I mentioned earlier. This is what I wrote. I've been following the coverage of the latest wildfires in California with a heavy heart. If you pay attention to the news, it seems like the whole world is on fire, literally and figuratively. To be alive at this time, especially for those of us who have been called to be healers, is no easy feat. There is just too much to do. Yet when I'm doing my work in the world, teaching yoga, training yoga teachers or shamanic Reiki practitioners, running two yoga studios, or offering one-on-one healing, I feel my connection to that greater purpose. During those times, the discouraging news drops away and I feel in the flow. But being in the flow doesn't mean the work is easy. Every day, the healing and transformative work I'm drawn to do asks me to be physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually at the top of my game. And that's just not possible. Like everyone else, I get injured, I lose focus, I grieve, and I doubt. I can't count how many times I was ready to quit during the past year. When I was tired and overwhelmed, I thought of pulling the plug on the whole thing. What if it's okay to be tired? I was listening to an interview with Joe Fairley, co-founder of the organic chocolate company Green and Black, on Carrie Green's She Means Business podcast, which is a great resource for female entrepreneurs. And Joe was asked how she did it all. Her answer was, when you're tired, rest, don't quit. Hearing that in her lovely British accent made me realize it was okay to acknowledge that getting tired didn't mean I had failed or that I couldn't do the work. It meant I needed to rest and renew my energy. Accepting that sometimes I'm going to be tired is a big shift for perfectionist Debbie. For the past few weeks, I have given myself permission to feel worn out and to plan rest time into my day, even if it's simply going to bed a bit earlier or treating myself to a yoga class that someone else is teaching. Then, when my energy returns, I start moving forward again. I can't quit because there is healing work I need to do in this world. Indeed, there was healing work I needed to do in the world, and I worked through it, basically. And then I felt like it was actually time for me to quit. Not quit the work, but shift away from the yoga studios and even instructing, and focus more deeply in the shamanic work and eco-spirituality. That was 2019. I'm not saying I manifested the pandemic or anything, but I did realize during the pandemic that an opportunity to bow out gracefully was being offered. And I decided not to keep struggling to pay rent on empty spaces and let it go. Then, when things started opening up again, I stopped struggling to get people to come to online yoga classes and let them go too. And then I went dark for a bit. Not really, but I focused on things like seminary and my new wildlife rehabilitation nonprofit, and didn't push to do much with the ways I'm called to be a healer. I was recovering. I was healing. I was figuring out how to be me in a world that's still on fire and getting worse, figuratively and literally. Then life made it harder again. I always say the world is best served when healers step up as leaders. And many of us resist it because we're not the bold, outspoken people we're used to seeing leading marches and rallies. Some of us even talk ourselves out of it by saying things like politics and social justice and the like are too icky for the light workers to get involved with. We want to get outside the system and do our own thing in a bubble of peace. But that's not how it works. Yes, we need to heal ourselves and protect our energy by not getting drawn into the drama or hanging out with or listening to the psychic vampires who want to drain you of any energy to resist, leaving you feeling numb and apathetic. And if you think that's not happening, you are probably one of those bubble of peace people. Be there if it feels aligned for you. But let's be real. I don't think you should tell yourself you're a healer. Because the messages I've been receiving are saying healing is bigger than you. There's a lot of crap going on in the world. It's an election year in the US, so politics is getting loud. And most of those politicians are not leaders. Yes, let me say that again. Getting elected to office doesn't make you a leader. Having power does not make you a leader. Being given authority over others does not make you a leader. Why do I think that? Because none of those people running around asking you to put them in charge of everything are healers. And the world needs healers to step up as leaders if we actually want to see the world transformed. Seriously, the transformative work you've been doing for yourself is preparing you to push that healing magic out into the world in ever-widening circles. Over the last 6 months or so, I've been called to step up as a leader in a number of aspects of my life. It's funny. Although there was, of course, stuff that I had to deal with, life kind of gave me a break during the first year and a half of seminary while I did my own work. Then things started rolling. And it's great in some ways and not so great in others, because I'm having to do more shadow work to navigate the perils of being out in the world in new ways. I'm going to be open here. There are a lot of times I'm doing my thing, whether that's standing in the pulpit at my UU congregation, giving a talk on the importance of a spiritual connection with the ecosystem and how screwed up the environment is, or standing in front of a bunch of people who like animals at an environmental ed program, trying to nudge them to advocate for wetlands because turtles need them. And so do we, if we're going to remain resilient in the face of climate change. There are so many times, while practice words are coming out of my mouth, that I feel unsafe. It's not physically unsafe, and I am not diminishing the lived experience of anyone who is or has been physically unsafe, so please don't think so. It's just the word that's working for me right now. Unitarian Universalists aren't going to cause me physical harm. because I challenge them to think about something differently. Heck, they often appreciate it. That's kind of the nature of UUs. And the nature people, well, if they try, they have a snapping turtle to defend me. But seriously, I mean, I do have a snapping turtle, but Gordon is more of a lover than a fighter. Anyway, it's more of a mental thing. I feel unsafe because I'm expressing some stuff that I believe about the world, and it almost feels revolutionary to say it out loud. There is a boldness to saying what I value, because it's often different than what society keeps telling me is valuable. And when I say it, I feel vulnerable. Honestly, I don't like having to defend my beliefs or argue for my position on things. It's hard because the fuck your feelings crowd doesn't want to know that my beliefs about what's going on in the world and my political positions are usually a combination of science I've read about and felt experiences, which might be in the mundane world, like when I work with injured turtles, or in the other realms while I'm journeying. Try telling someone who's insisting that climate change is made up to try to get him to give up his gas-guzzling oversized pickup truck or invest in insulation in his home, that an ancestral helping spirit keeps showing you a vision of the world without fossil fuel consumption. They're going to tell me I'm some loon who's trying to ruin all their fun and peddle the witchcraft thing too. Or maybe they won't, but that's how the conversation goes in my head. And even though I'm not in front of that person when I'm speaking, the fear still shows up. Did I lose you? Sorry. But if it's resonating with you, then you may be like me, one of those healers who has revolutionary ideas, but you feel unsafe saying them out loud. Maybe you have real or imagined discussions with that person and felt threatened or had your ideas belittled and it left a wound. And don't think for one minute that that critical voice challenging your beliefs in that conversation you're imagining in your head can't hurt you. I mean, if it couldn't, I wouldn't have half the shadow shit I do. So what do we do? Because those bold, revolutionary ideas need to be expressed. I know for me, it's part of how I care for the earth. I have the power to heal. It's innate in all of us. So I have to use it. I have to get others on board with the environmental stuff. One of the ways I do that is talking about it. Nobody said being a healer was easy. Nobody said leadership was easy either. We have to do the work no matter what. So healers can be leaders when we step up, but if you feel unsafe in the work, you're going to go the peace bubble route. I'd like you instead to try what works for me, a different kind of bubble. I'm reading DJ Conway's book, by Oak, Ash, and Thorn, about Celtic shamanism. In it, she wrote about going into meditation and journey in a protective bubble of white light, which reminded me that I hadn't charged up my shield in a while. A long time ago, I learned to create an energetic bubble around myself to keep the bad energy out. That doesn't mean I'm not experiencing pain or grief or anger about what's going on in the world, but I do feel safer walking through it, surrounded by my bubble. It's protection from getting caught up in the drama or having your caring and interest in the state of the world leached out of you. With my shield up, I can do my shadow work, and I can stand in a room full of people I don't know and say that we need to save wetlands so we can survive climate change, feeling a little more courageous. If you are needing a shield of your own, I'm going to talk you through the process of creating one. If you've done energetic shielding already, let this be a reminder that it needs some attention. If you want to be guided in this, sit someplace quiet where you can be comfortable for a few minutes and close your eyes. And take some deep breaths, just allowing your body to settle in, to relax. Feel the breath flowing in and out. With each exhale, let your body relax a little bit more. Check in with the grounding that we did at the beginning, your root, your anchor. Just become aware again of all the places that you are touching the earth and being supported. And know that this support is essential to walking in the world, owning your power, putting yourself out there as a leader. And when you feel yourself centered, try your spine a little bit taller. Drop your shoulders back and down. Open up through the heart space. Take care not to squeeze your shoulder blades together. Just let them relax down so that both the front and the back of the heart are open. And you'll be able to send energy out all the way around you. Now set the intention to create a protective shield that will allow you to experience all of the feelings of life, but allow you to be a little less affected by some of the critical or not healthy energy. Only what serves you enters. And now imagine that there's a column of white light coming down from the center of the cosmos and flowing down into the crown of your head. And then it comes down through you and fills your heart space, your solar plexus, the whole center of your being. It's being filled with that light, that power. This power is yours to control, to ask of it what you need. Now begin to expand that power out and imagine that it's forming a bubble around you, above you, below you, to the sides, front and back, a nice sphere that you're sitting within. And begin to notice how that bubble is manifesting. Is it very solid looking or translucent or even very transparent. And you can see this in your mind's eye or get a sense of this. Notice what color or colors your shield is taking on. And continue to flow energy down from the cosmos and out into the sphere around you. And you may want to enhance it a little bit. My shield has some pretty yellow spikes. What can you add to yours to make it feel protective in the way that you intend? And now intend for this protective shield to stay in place no matter what you're doing, mundane or magical. And when you feel that your shield is strong and connected to you, open your eyes. And every now and then, do this process. Send it a little more energy, especially before those opportunities to speak with the voice of a leader.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.